Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
You all look very ready.
I am.
It was funny. I was literally asked maybe an hour and a half ago or 2 hours ago if we were still doing the podcast thing. And, you know.
We are.
We are. And we had actually planned before we were even asked that we were going to do one tonight. But I feel like, you know, as for a lot of hobby, do we consider ourselves hobby farmers? Probably still hobby farmers right now.
Yeah.
That harvest season, in quotations, is the busiest time of the year for us. Not a whole lot of downtime. At least during the summer, like, you know, there's a lot of hours in the day to get your work done and to podcast or just live life.
Well, there's an irony in it that I've talked about on Instagram a lot, because on Instagram, I post significantly less during the summer because there's not as much going on. Like, during the fall and winter and spring, we're doing so much prep work and, you know, like, taking care of the past season, starting stuff for the new season, maintaining and, like, getting new things ready. And then in the summer, like, if we've done everything right, we should just kind of be coasting for the most part. Animals are different.
Yeah, but for the most part.
For, the garden.
You know, we do have chicken batches that go right now once a month where... And that's because we work full-time jobs. If we didn't work full-time jobs, I feel like we would do chicken batches probably once a week. No, if the farming aspect was our full-time gig, full-time job, I would 100% be doing chicken batches probably once a week. It would probably be a chicken batch once a week. And it would all be dependent on supply and demand. And if this was my full-time gig, right, we would have hired hands for certain things. Yeah. And literally every Saturday and Sunday, I would have a pop-up tent at just about every farmer's market within like a 200-mile radius. That's, you know, and that would be to for the profit aspect of things. Obviously, we're not there right now. And we don't need to be right there right now. And I don't ever want to get to a point where it's not fun. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it'll ever not be fun. And there's so much morally that goes into it more than being fun and being profitable. And it's the whole, like, my moral compass on this, or business ethics, as you would call it, as far as the business aspect goes, is still so hard for everything. Everything we have is what we say we have. And I'm not willing to sacrifice quality for quantity, or I'm not willing to sacrifice quality to meet said things. You know, I would rather tell somebody that we can't do it, we don't have it, we can't supply it, than to, you know, ever like lie to somebody or cut corners or and I mean it's a hard thing, because you do realize, like, as you get into things and stuff, that would probably be an easy thing to do for somebody without a moral compass that's strong, but we're not it, you know. As clustered and busy as our lives may get, you know, I would always say, hey, if you're buying something off our farm, come visit, come see, come, you know, just roll up one afternoon after work. Now, obviously, we both work all the time, so please maybe make it. You know, when we're here, we actually had somebody roll by the other day, I guess, and we weren't even home. Said our sheep looked fantastic.
Good.
So, you know, it is what it is. I never want any customer, friend, family member, anybody in the homestead community to feel like, you know, any homestead farm operators is lying or hiding something. Mm. So, I don't know. That's just a little close to me. I love honesty, and so that's where we're at with that. Yeah. So
within reason, because we are putting this on the internet, and I don't want it's hard when the farm is also your house.
It is. It is our house.
I love the idea, and like I agree.
I mean, if you
also, I'm like, God, don't come to my house on an L.
If you roll up, you know, I mean, if you're sketchy, just so you know, you're on camera. We are
heavily armed.
Well, that too, but I mean, we will know you were here. But yeah, so you know, that's still what's going on. So anyway, the real reason that I want to do the podcast today is we finally pulled the trigger on, I believe this is mandate number 3 that I said I would never do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. And then...
Here we are. Here well, we you are. Pulled the trigger a while ago, but the...
I committed to it.
You committed. Committed you made arrangements. It. And now...
Well, before we even announce it... everybody pretty much probably knows that listens to it. But anyway. So the first thing that I said... I think we've been doing this podcast for over a year now.
No, I did it in the new year. It was my New Year's resolution.
Are you sure? I just remember talking about land. I don't know.
I might insert something to say who's right, but I swear it was my New Year's resolution.
I thought it was your New Year's resolution to just be more up to date with the YouTube and stuff.
It was.
Okay, so anyway. First started growing stuff, as most of you know, we started with sheep, and then we expanded, and we went to cattle, and then we expanded our gardens,
mm-hmm.
and then we dialed back on the gardens, and then we were phasing out of cattle, which we never had much cow. I wouldn't really call.
I mean, I know you say cattle. Like one or two cows.
We would always have two cows, essentially, and we were phasing out of that. And then from at that point, I think you had mentioned to me about chickens, mm-hmm. and I said we're not doing chickens. Mm-hmm. Like, they're messy. Yeah. Too yeah. much work. Don't yeah. want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
By my calculations, this year, we had our hands on probably around 400 chickens.
Yeah.
And this was really the first year that we...
It is the first year. Well,
no, we had... It's
the I got the hens year. For my quarantine birthday. Remember what?
Yeah, so that was 2020. We're in 2021.
April. Well, yeah, April of 2020 is when we got our first.
So that's
chicks.
When we. That's when we threw that out the window.
Yeah, but then this year is the first year that we did meat chicken, which is a whole different ball game. Whole different ball
for
game.
Sure. But I just meant that I didn't want chickens in general.
Oh yeah,
girl. Mm-hmm. And so we broke that code.
Yeah.
Then I said, "No more cows. Mm-hmm. No more cows." Yeah. 3 cows this year?
Yeah.
3 cows. Yep. 3 cows. And then, I guess it had been an original, like, hard stop no.
I think it was one of our very first podcasts, like, introducing the farm, I think.
We were like, hard stop no.
Yeah, definitely.
No
pigs. No pigs.
No pigs at all.
Definitely no pigs and no meat chicken. Literally, I think we verbatim, if I can get a clip of it, I will try to, but I think
look,
we said
and
definitely
this is all,
no
I'm
going to
tie this together here in a second. I promise you I will. But guess what? We have pigs.
Yeah.
And they are a lot different than I thought they would be. Well, I'm going to be honest. They're a lot different than I thought they would be. Good or bad?
Well, we had them for like 2 days.
Yes.
So
we
feel like
it's Sunday.
I feel like we need to wait at least until... I feel like we can't have a full pass until we have full-grown pigs.
Yeah. But the full-grown pigs are different from feeder pigs. Our breeder pigs will be different from feeder pigs. And we have... Gosh, and we've already even changed that plan.
Yeah.
Which
that's
you don't
not...
really want to. But we have emergency bailouts. And that's what we need. Yeah. I feel like that's what you need. So I was talking to my friend who does a lot of marketing for a lot of businesses, and we talked about things like business loans, and we talked about companies scaling up, and how bad it is, really. If you can afford to not take a business loan or not grab too many, a business partner who, like, floats you money and all this other stuff, it is more beneficial to you in the long run, even though you don't want to hear it. To slow it. To mm-hmm. just go slow. And I feel like at the very beginning, we were not going as slow as you wanted, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, it was me kind of grabbing.
Yeah.
And then now...
That's an accurate depiction.
And now, I feel like I've been sticking with what I wanted, but this was kind of a curveball, right? Right? So, we made a deal with I mean, I don't know what to call him. I like him. Cool guy. Met him this weekend for the first time. Matt over
Your pig
at,
guy?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah. At MBM Livestock. Great guy. Worked with me for I don't know, a couple months. I told him what we wanted. Mm-hmm. We got it all hashed out. We got prices hashed out. I got exactly what I wanted from Matt and then some. So I wanted 2 breeding pairs from him. We hashed out that deal with the prices and everything like that. And there were small hiccups with the breeding. And, you know, nothing with animals is ever going to go 100% the way you want it to go. And it didn't go 100% the way he wanted it to go. And we talked about everything. And I had to set date where I wanted the pigs. And we got it all squared away. But now it turns out that genetically wise, we have a second option with our breeding pair. So we have 2 gilts, which if you don't know what a gilt is a female pig that's capable of breeding, and 1 boar. And the boar has to, you know, obviously not be from the same litter, which there were some good gilts from the other litter, but we had 4 options. We could have bred 4 gilts. And we still could breed 4 gilts. Well, no, I would have to call Randy because I sold Randy some of them. So we kept 6 pigs, which was our original plan. Mm-hmm. But our original plan was to breed 1. So 2 breeders, a boar and a gilt that we were going to breed. And 4 for meat production.
Well, the original plan was 4, 2 breeders and 2 feeders.
Oh, I scrapped that plan immediately.
Yeah, I think you scrapped. I think you were just telling that to me to convince me. But anyway.
So yeah. But listen. Me and Matt were actually talking about it the other day. All right. If you enter yourself into a scenario where somebody does the job or profession every single day. All right. Every day of their life, or for the most part, that's their thing. You would be foolish not to take their advice.
Unless they're sabotaging
you. So, you know, and I was talking to Matt about this. I do a lot of offshore fishing.
Yes, you do.
I help a lot of people as mates with charter fishing. Mm-hmm. If you show up to charter fish offshore and the captain tells you, hey, this is what's going on right now. This bite is hot. This bite's not. And you just disregard that and tell a charter captain what to do, like, you can't expect good results. Like, this person is fishing every single day of their, basically every day of their life. Like, you'd be foolish not to take their advice. Matt told me that I would be, that it would be much, if it was him running our business scenario and plan, that he would breed both gilts. So we had 4 options. 2 were great, 2 not so much. We only wanted 1. He said, if it were me in this scenario, I would breed them both. And I think that's what we're going to do. But as far as expanding and not expanding outside your realms of reach, I also have at least 1 person who would buy every single piglet off me every single time. And that is a safety net for me. So I legitimately cannot say no to breeding these 2 sets. You know, we are pasture breeding, so it's a little bit different. We're going to do basically mobile farrowing pen systems, and I talked to Matt a little bit about how that goes, and his dad had some good insight about, you know, things to watch out for, which I really appreciate both of them talking to me about, because there were things that, small little details I never would have even thought about. My, you know, everything changes. My whole plan was like, I'd have them in these 4 big sections and in my woods. And then one of the sections, it would be a breeding scenario, and I would make a hardcore pen set up for it. And I was just going to make like a hut with, you know, just a square. But when you talk to me about, like, you know, really put a creep in there, and I'm like, well, what do you need a creep for? Well,
you need to tell people what a creep is.
So a creep is like an area where any type of baby animals, whether it's lambs, pigs, oh, you know, whatever, can get underneath without the mom getting to. So it's like you can teach them how to, like, eat a little bit of grain if that's what you want to do. But for pigs, it's especially important because if you just have a hard room and the pig is in there, And she all of a sudden just decides, hey, I'm laying down right now. And she's near a wall, and all her piglets are right there. She's going to crush the piglets. There's no place for them to go. You put a creep on all the sides. You know, it doesn't have to be big. You know, 18 inch, 2 foot, something like that. You just put a barricade that she cannot break with her body weight.
Yeah.
So she goes to lay down, and the pigs scramble. And they can all scramble into an area that she cannot squish them.
Yeah,
and
so essentially, like, in this little hut, there'll be a little jut out that's too short for Mom to get in, but it's tall enough for the piglets to get in, so that they have a little hidey hole.
Right, and if you do it with an angle, it's not even wasted space. So you're doing an angle to keep the water and snow and all that from collecting, and then you have a line mm-hmm. making a triangle. And the piglets can just jet off into there. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
I mean, I personally never even thought of that. I don't know why. I mean, sometimes I'm dumb, but.
Well, it's hard to know everything about everything. Like, these are so many different, like, sheep are so different than cows, which are so different than chickens and pigs and gardening. And, you know, it's a lot of different stuff. You can't know everything about everything. Right.
And like I was saying, I was going to tie it all together later. But that's the thing. Like. When we first got into here, I don't know how documented it is in the podcast, but, like, we thought that, well, we're not going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is better. This is easier.
Mm-hmm.
Look, listen. Take any advice you get from people who run an operation that you strive to be like.
Yep.
Like, don't take advice from people who don't do it. You can, or you can at least listen to them, but always have an open mind. And I hate to say it, and I know there's somebody who's listening who's probably just like me and is not going to listen to that. And I think we said this also at the very beginning, like, we're not telling you the correct way to do things. We'll never tell you the correct way to do things because we don't know. We don't know. We try to do things the best way we can.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're doing, is we're telling you how we're doing things. And are they right and correct? I mean, they may be. They may not be.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just sharing our experience mm-hmm. of doing this with everybody.
Yeah.
And that's
what it comes down to. Like, you can do all the research in the world, but experience is going to end up being more valuable, because no amount of research can really predict what, you know, a certain animal is going to do in your climate, on your property, with your factors. Like, nothing is going to be exactly tailored to what your experience is until you do it. So people who have been doing it, especially, like, close by longer, have been through all those trials and tribulations. And no matter what, you're still going to fail and screw things up. But, like, that's the best way to learn, through failure. And so when people help you by sharing what they do to fail, which is what I hope eventually to do on this podcast, the more we fail, you know, it's really beneficial.
Yeah. Well, I will have to say, though, that this year has not been a fail. This year has been...
The lamb stillbirth, I feel like. Probably could have been preventable.
Okay, sure. But that is something that happened because we are not full-time farmers.
Yeah,
and that's literally true. We can't change that. Like,
yeah.
We do what we can when we can. And as Joel Salatin calls it, it's slippage.
Yeah.
Right? When you leave your day job and you become a full-time farmer, mm-hmm. if that's what you would like to do,
mm-hmm.
You can prevent slippage, or a lot of it.
Yeah.
Right? But for us, like, we just... There are things that we cannot prevent. Like, there is always more hands-on approaches, but God knows we spend enough hours doing our stuff and then turning 40 to... What was it? 2 weeks ago, I literally had an 80-hour,
mm-hmm.
working paycheck. Like,
it
is what it is. We do what we can when we can. We help the animals we can, and... We try to have the best situations involved. Like, I feel like with the pigs right now, I feel like the pigs are great. We spent a little bit of extra time. We've learned our lesson with certain things. Mm-hmm. They are double fenced in.
Yes, they are. That makes me feel so much better.
And next week they'll be triple fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not, You know, originally we thought we could just, original Nate opening a farm, if we got pigs, I'd have hard fenced it.
Mm-hmm.
No electric, hard fence. Now I'm like, we better be pushing 10,000 volts back there. Like, 10,000 yeah. volts, and then have a catch to the catch, and mm-hmm. then next week, I feel like they need to get another, they need to get a heavier dose. I might flip the boxes or something. They ticked me off a little bit today, so we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah, they're
but
not...
as they get bigger, it'll be harder. So for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I for the amount of voltage that I know this box is providing, they don't like it, but they are not as like turned off. That's probably not a good way of describing it, but like they're not as afraid of the fence as I expected them to be. Like yeah. I've seen them, like they'll get, especially if there's food around, like their butt will hit it and he's like, ah, and then he'll go right back and do like the exact same thing like two more times. And I just didn't expect.
Well, they're training yeah. right now. Once yeah. they realize that every single time they touch it,
but also they are so smart. They already know if we're in there that it's not off.
Yeah,
I think that is going to be our problem. They know. Because when I went in there to fill up their water today, and I, like, went in there, they did not care about the fence. Like, they were not purposely on it, but, like, the way that they were.
So, that's going to be something that we'll do is we'll break that habit by, we're going to get in there with the fence on. You can hop over it.
And then we'll have to tag team. I'll get in and you turn it back on for a little bit. I'll, like, one of us will be by the box. The other one will maybe have food or something. Hop in.
Yeah, well, they're gonna get the piss shock out of them tonight because I set them up for failure.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I poured a grain pile halfway in, halfway out with the fence draped over it. So they can eat part of it and every time they touch the fence. But I heard that that's what you're supposed to do to train them. Like they'll figure it out, and then of yeah. course I have the backup fence behind that.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna, like I said, this was always my plan to give them 7 days with just the netting, and then I'm gonna start next week 7 days with the wire.
Yeah,
because I really would love to get them trained to single strand.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what's going on with them. But if we need to flip the box with the sheep are getting better. I know you don't think that because they literally got out the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But So my wife called me, and of course, listen, this is how things go in this household.
Yeah. Every house. I mean,
And you know what? You know who talked about this? We watched the video the
was
other day.
Was it Joel Saladin?
It was Joel who yeah. talked about this. Anytime you go anywhere, that is when the worst things will happen on your farm. Yeah. I could not have been further away from home. I literally had put the truck in park at the West Virginia-Virginia border. We live in North Carolina. Okay. As soon as I put the truck in park, I got the message from my wife that every sheep was out of the fence. And I was like, well, you know what? At this point, I'm here. You're going to have to deal with it. Yeah.
Obviously, I was going to deal with it. I just wanted to notify you that all the effing sheep were out, and I just needed to cuss about it for a minute. I took care of it. I handled it. I didn't intend for you to drop what you were doing, turn around, and come back from West Virginia.
Well, that's good, because me and Matt were just kind of like, well, hope she can handle it.
And I did. I could.
I just want to take a second also and apologize to Matt. I'm sorry for cutting your grandma's wheelbarrow with the skill saw. That was a complete accident.
Oh,
I didn't
no.
know that. But
is his grandma deceased?
It didn't sound... No, probably not, because he said she was going to be pissed off if I cut it. And then I cut it, and I was like, whoops.
So now if you're haunted, we know who it is.
Yeah, I felt bad about that, but... So, yeah.
Why do you have a saw?
Funny story. So, we, my hunting truck, I call it a hunting truck, it's a hunting farm truck, is in the shop, shittiest shop in the
AKA
world.
AKA the hoopty truck.
I'm so mad at this shop. Anyway, don't have my truck back. Mm-hmm. I have an 8-foot long, cab high box for dogs that the pigs were going to get.
Would have been perfect for pigs.
Perfect. Yeah. Anyway, they didn't give me my truck back. So I had to convince a friend who probably didn't want to. Definitely. Shout out to Aaron. I really appreciate you, man.
Definitely didn't want to.
I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. You know I will. We borrowed his truck. Me and him rode up there together early on, was it Sunday? It was Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. I mean, it's not considered borrowing when he comes with you.
Well, but I still had to do it. I still had to do it, so. No box will fit his truck. It's a 6.5-foot bed. Or, I mean, boxes will, but I have an 8-foot box. So we had to go to, we went to Lowe's when we got near Matt's house and bought some plywood and a hole saw bit, and we were going to make a couple pieces of plywood to go across the top, but they were too long and we needed to cut them.
Oh no. So how'd you get them there?
We put them in the back of the truck. Sideways, a different direction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had to cut it off. So we set it up on a wheelbarrow when we got there. Approved by Matt. It sounded like we just put them on there.
He just broke the one rule he had.
No, but I looked. So I did the first one. No problem. You're cut. Second one. Well, and when we did the first one, we even joked about it. I was like, I just want to make sure I don't cut through your wheelbarrow. And I was looking underneath. And he says, Grandma would be really mad if I did. Second one, we cut through the wheelbarrow. But just the top of it, either way, I still feel bad. I'll probably send you a gift card or something. I'll send you a gift card, man. You get a new one. Tell your grandma don't come down here and kill me. But yeah, I went up there, and I'm sure we're probably spinning all over in tangents on this episode. But
I'm just naming it the pig episode because I knew that we'd just talk about
it. Yeah, so I got to see Matt's whole pig thing and talk to his dad. I believe it was his dad.
Wait a minute. Let's spiral back. We were talking about sheep. I know I just said it's a pig episode.
Yeah.
But the whole point of that story was
you got
that
the sheep back and you did a good job.
No, but before that, you were like, I know it's ironic because the sheep just got out, but the sheep have been doing good.
Yeah, they have been doing good.
Is that all you wanted to say on that?
I think so. The sheep have been doing really good. Unless you want me to go into the whole sheep thing, which we can talk about later for profit and money.
Felt like you had more to say about that. I didn't
know. No, I love the sheep are doing great right now. Yeah, the sheep are doing good. They're doing good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably going to get lambs soon-ish.
I think we're going to be right on pace. Maybe a little early, but not that much. Not that no. It's I don't think it's gonna be November.
I think I looked at Blacktop's.
She was huge. We literally had a sheep that was stuck sideways last year.
That was Blacktop.
No, it was Rio. It was Rio.
Yeah, she got cast, which is when it's hard to explain verbally.
And it's not hard to explain verbally. It's when a pregnant animal is literally stuck on its side because it's too fucking fat.
When both of its legs are kind of like up on the side and they can't get leverage.
We were so worried that she was like dying. Yeah, we were like, and then somebody messaged April and was like, just tip her back over.
Yeah, well, that was why, you know, thank God for Instagram. I was like, does anyone know what is wrong with my sheep? Like, she's so lethargic, she won't get up. But she had been so tired from trying to right herself. Her little legs were just in the air kicking because she couldn't get on her feet. They were like, are you sure she's not cast? Like, try to roll her over. And I did, and she just got up and walked away.
I miss her. Bless her heart.
Oh, we don't have to tell this sad real story.
I mean, it's something really sad to say. We sold her, and then the new owner, she died. I mean, it is what it is. I mean... Yeah. We didn't sell them a bum sheep. Like, the sheep was fine. She even gave birth later, had twins and everything. I don't know. Yeah, we don't even talk about that guy.
I know. Gosh.
It is. Once you sell an animal, it's unfortunately, it's out of your hands.
Yeah.
You can't sell somebody a car and tell them that they can't go on, like, a certain highway, you know? Like, you sell somebody an animal, just be warned. Mm-hmm. You've sold it. That's it. We have certain sheep we'll never sell, but we sold Rio. Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Denise's twins. One of them I love. I love them.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Which one?
I don't know, but she's super friendly. She's got a huge neck for some reason. I don't know why.
A thick neck, like a linebacker or something.
She looks pretty close to Denise, and then Dot still. will not come near me.
I think I know, ironically, I cannot, now that they're so old, when they were younger, I could tell the difference. When they were like lamb, like teenage.
I can tell you the difference with every single one of them.
But now that they're adults, I could not tell you which one is which. The only way I know Goaty is because she's the most friendly. So she's the only one usually that'll come up and she's like, hey, do you have food? Because she's just like a little piggy. Like she will. That's why we named her Goaty, because she eats like she.
No, we named she her bleated Goaty like she a bleats goat. Like a goat.
She bleats like a goat, but she also eats like a goat. So she's the only one that will be brave enough to come up to us like at any time. She's by far the most friendliest. But today, we were cleaning out the refrigerator, and I had some old, like, past prime carrots. They were a little slimy and gross. Ew. So I went out there and fed it to them, to the sheep. And, of course, Goaty ran up. But then I couldn't tell which one was, because two of them ran up to me, and they looked, like, identical. And, like, it must have been her and her daughter, right?
It was probably just the two daughters. Denise is still... Denise doesn't want you to touch her.
Oh, okay.
But her
okay.
twins are okay. like, hey, what's going on?
Okay, okay.
But also, it could be a couple of them. Because Goaty's...
They were white.
Goaty's kid is white.
Yeah.
But he...
And Goaty is white.
Goaty's beige. Goaty's beige. Okay, so here's how I did. Goaty's beige. All right. Mm-hmm. But her son is white.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise has basically freckles.
That's
and
Denise.
Both her girls have freckles, too.
Okay.
But her girls are really big. They're going to be good breeders. Yeah, they're going to be good breeders. And then Tank, obviously. Tank comes up.
Yeah, Tank. I mean, you can't.
Blacktop's those... very friendly, and her girls are friendly, too.
Okay. All right.
We have a lot of sheep, by the way. I know all of them, and I know April doesn't know very many of them.
Well, I mean, I know all their names, like, at one point. But now, the older they get, the more they look alike. Like, a lot of their distinguishing features fade a little bit. Well, because Denise...
Only two of them are similar. I think only two are similar.
Denise, right, if you remember, when she was... When they were all... When they first came here, she was the smallest. And that's the way that I distinguished her from... I believe Goaty.
Was she the smallest?
Yep. She was significantly smaller than all the others, and now not at all.
Are you sure? Because I'm 100% we used to call her Dennis, which is why we named her Denise, because we found out it was a female. Because
she was
they were
one
so
that,
skittish, we could never she figure kept it out. Getting,
yeah, she was the first one to jump the fence. She always was trying to get out.
She won't jump the fence no more. She's a fat ass.
I know. Yeah, it was Dennis, but it's now Denise. But Dennis also, she was the smallest. Yep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, the first ram we had, he was big. It was actually good. I think that's what really helped us. We bought Craigslist sheep, which we say don't do, but we had a good male.
What did we name him again?
We didn't name him at all.
No name.
He was no name.
No, there were two. No name was the one we ate, and then we had named one.
We had bought five.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had Denise... Karen, Goaty, No Name, and Chewy.
Chewy, yeah, Chewy was our ram.
Chewy no and No Name was the first ram. We kept two intact males that year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. But so how do you know any of them? I thought Chewy was the dad to that whole batch.
No Name was the dad to the first batch. And then Chewy went 2 years after that.
Mm, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Interesting. Man, those years are a blur.
I know.
To remind everyone, we got the sheep when Troy was
a baby.
2 weeks old. Yeah. I was still in the time where he was getting up every 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that whole time was a blur.
And then you went on vacation and I got...
It was not vacation. It was a work trip.
You went on a work trip and I got...
A work trip with Skelly. My newborn baby.
Skelly.
And I said, you were like, I think I'm going to get cows. And I was like, God, please don't get cows. And I came home and there was a cow.
That started everything.
Yep.
It worked out good. Skelly was a great cow.
Yeah, he was fine. I'm glad that now we're doing real cows, though.
We could do the Holstein crosses again and be all right.
The whole I think for beginner homesteaders, small scale. Sorry, I've had some wine. small scale homesteaders, I think those Holstein mixes are perfect. You know, you don't need a ton of meat. They're really cheap. It's a great flip. Like, they're great. I honestly
feel like if we filled them out, like, really filled them out, spent a little bit of money to fill them out, they'd have been giant cows. They'd been great for...
You think?
Yeah. Their skeletal structure was pretty big. Like, I...
Even though we named one Skelly because he was such a skeleton. Well,
when we got yeah. him, no. Like,
yeah, been... you definitely have to be ready for, like, a rehab cow when you get them off Craigslist or at the auction. Yeah. For the most part.
I mean,
for
those Holsteins, think we literally... Yeah. We saved both of their lives, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One we saved just because we bought him. Mm-hmm. And the other one we saved because I literally would not quit on that cow.
Yeah, I thought he was going to die for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And then we remember we had Ron, who mm-hmm. died...
Oh, I miss Ron, yeah.
And we tried hard to save him. We really
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that was like... really sad, yeah. And that was during, we named him Ron because of
Corona.
Because
it was very, the very beginning of COVID, yeah.
Yeah, Corona. Yep, yeah. Ron and the chickens were our current, oh. We made lamb burgers. We have a... delicious bottle of wine, King Chancho.
Okay, so I bought this wine.
Is that
wine.
A racial slur?
No, it's the name of the wine. I mean, it can't be a racial slur. We bought this wine because it's got a picture of a wild boar on the front.
I'll take a picture
some
for
skeleton
my Instagram
bones,
story.
Too. I saw it at the store, and I knew we were going to be doing a podcast tonight about our pigs. So I threw it on there. I was
and it's
like,
delicious.
You know,
and now it's empty.
It's empty because it was so good.
It was. And we made lamb burgers and we were kind of like eating it in between. But as I'm sure you have heard for the past 30 minutes, my husband's been doing a lot of talking. So he's now the very first bite of his burger just squirted a whole splooge of tzatziki sauce on his shirt.
I know. I wish it was homemade tzatziki sauce.
I know. Me too. Me too.
But hey, you know, it is what it is.
Winter time.
We need to figure out how to like preserve tzatziki sauce.
We can freeze it. That would be easy.
I guess we could, and then mix together.
What we need to do is get that kegerator out of here and put another mini freezer for just garden stuff.
I have a mini freezer right there on the porch.
Well, then let's kick that baby out now that you're not a little frat boy anymore. We
you
don't
just
need
let
a
me
keg.
Live my life.
We don't need a kegerator with a tap at our house.
Well, it was my mini fridge until it got too. It's a little dirty right now. All right. Anyway. So, yeah. So, what do you want? What else are we going to talk about? So, we have our pigs.
Yeah, we have our pigs. They're great. Better than expected. Very cute. We're friendly. Now, not so much.
They are. They are. You touch them. Wee, wee.
Well, but you bought, Nate bought pig treats. So, we're going to try and.
We need to because one of the gilts that I want to breed is an asshole.
Really?
Yeah, she sucks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's not friendly.
Does she bite you?
I don't... All right, so I don't know if this is a bite or where that came from, but I sure was grabbing a lot of them today. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any other marks to dictate that it was, like, mm-hmm. poison ivy or anything. I'm pretty sure I got bit there. Who knows? I don't care.
Was scratched with a hoof.
I could have got scratched with a hoof. Well, one's just an asshole, I'm telling you right now. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure it's one of the two that we may or may not breed.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we talked about. If she has a terrible personality, we might not breed her.
Or we could breed her and see if we can get one of that batch that has a good personality. And then we could always replace the boar.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We always do. But if she sucks and she has piglets, then guess what? Her piglets will always be feeder pigs.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like, I don't care. You be mean to me. That's all
I'm
right.
I'm going to eat your children.
And then when you're done, yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, my gosh.
We love our animals for the most part. We always do. Well, even if we don't love them, though, they get treated really well.
We respect them, yeah.
They get treated really well. I can't think of a single animal that I hated, really. I can't think of any.
Yeah, no.
I mean, some were pains in the butt.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end of their
lives. Oh, gosh,
lives.
I know.
The cow
and the sheep, yeah.
Oh, yeah, those sheep. Good Lord, I had to go Greg Judy on them one at a time. But, hey, as long as Chief doesn't spread this to everybody, I feel like Chief is the one doing it.
I know, he is. He's the only one.
Son of a bitch.
I know, I thought that was where you had been going with the previous story. It's not a very interesting story. We don't have to talk about it. But there's just one sheep. Ironically, the one sheep that we nursed back to health in our dining room for 2 days. We like that Chief is the one we named him Chief
because the Chiefs got their butts kicked in the Super Bowl and he was getting his butt kicked at the same time.
Yeah.
We didn't think he was gonna live.
No, he was gonna die and we tube fed him and kept him in our dining room and heating pad and
did the whole 9 years. I think we mentioned this before. If you're breeding lambs and you don't have a tube feeder and you don't learn how to use it, you're fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how to do that. Because we don't want any bottle lambs. Mm-hmm. But we also couldn't even get a bottle lamb if we wanted to because mm-hmm. they won't suck on the nipple.
Yeah, they will not. None of our sheep that we've ever tried to bottle feed have taken to the bottle.
Nope.
So that baby, the only lamb we've ever really nursed back to health, has now turned into the asshole, and he keeps escaping. But now that the fence voltage is up, I think that was the point of what I thought Nate was trying to say. That Chief has gotten out like 3 times, but the most recent time when we upped the voltage and kind of like cleared everything out, it looked more like an accident. Like the other times, he clearly, like purposefully, like got out
through weaknesses.
Yeah. But this time he had like taken down like a whole side of the fence and it let everybody out. And it looked like he was trying to do his thing where he like gets underneath, but then he was like, oh crap, this hurts really bad, and like freaked out and accidentally took the whole thing down. So that's what had happened. But he's the only one that does that. And it just so happened he took down the whole fence and that's why everybody got out. So mm-hmm. we just don't want him to be teaching the others, because that's what had happened last year, the year before. And that was the worst time. Oh, my God. That was so bad when they kept getting out.
Yep.
Oh, it was so bad. But it's a whole different ball game with the electronet now.
Yeah. So the problem with them is that they graze and go with their heads. And so they don't lift their heads up to their body. And so if they're grazing and they're not getting shocked at the ground level, then they can get like half of their body under a fence.
Because with the electronet, the very, very bottom line that touches the ground is not electrified.
Right.
So if there's like a tuft of grass and like that line is like up in any way, they can get their nose under and go under without getting really, I mean, I'm sure they get a little bit shocked if they touch any other line, but that is a weakness in it.
Right. But it's also, it's hard because, yeah, like, you can't put electricity, but so yeah, like you, far. Yeah.
And hypothetically, if you're doing it right, they should never really have much motive to do that, because the whole point is to do rotational grazing where they get, like, new grass and stuff, you know, very frequently.
Yeah, but unfortunately, with rotational grazing, the electronet isn't the greatest, because if you have it, unless you overlap it pretty hardcore, mm-hmm. but even then your other side is in tall grass like bows over. Yeah. And so then they can come under where the grass is bowed over. And that's the issue. And then their fur keeps them off. Whereas the pigs, they lead with their nose, you know, and it's higher up.
Yeah, they have a whole.
And so they just touch it with their nose.
Yeah, but I mean, it hasn't been an issue, just with this one sheep that we nursed back to health. We're like, literally in our dining room.
His time's almost up. I actually need to contact the person who has purchased him
mm-hmm.
and figure out when he wants me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then lining up a bunch of Greeks, buying a bunch of lambs. Which I love.
Yeah.
You know, I love lamb. It's got to be my favorite thing to eat so far.
Yeah, it's my favorite meat.
Yeah. And we got to find some more cows to do some more stuff with this year. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Very busy time.
Very busy time. very busy time. It's really awesome to think about how far we've come and, you know, just how much, you know, you've accomplished this year in regard to the farm. And
yeah, but we got a lot more to go.
A lot more to go if we think about, like, the big picture and, like, big goals and, like, being more than just a hobby homestead. You know, I feel like we've accomplished and exceeded all of our goals that we had originally, you know, to be producing pretty much 100% of our own meat, you know, and...
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, there's a brief interruption.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean... That's how I, you know, I feel like I if we go back and re-listen to the episodes, I know we talked about, I think we were talking about next year's plans was pigs, mm-hmm. and then we hit it this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. We
I think your words were like definitely not before September or something like that.
Well, we
I
made it then.
Yeah, we for made that. It.
I don't know. We found the right. We found the right situation and the right genetics, and I feel like that's always been a downfall with us, mm-hmm. where we didn't wait, and you know, we ended up with bad situations, and I feel like I'm okay with it right now. I feel like we made a good decision, and we got them from the right person at the right price at the right time. Mm-hmm. And sure, we could have been a little bit more prepared for bringing them here, and but that's just not always how it works. Like, I try not to talk too much about, like, the business side of things, but on the business side of things for this farm, I strive to take profit from our animals and everything. I strive to take that profit and to run the farm from it, and to add to the farm from it, and not take from money, because as people know, we are full-time workers. Mm-hmm. I try to never touch money from our full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And
well, we're in this in-between phase where we're not a business, but we're more than a hobby farm now. So yep. like once we become a business and we have, like, enough, you know, cash flow to quantify, like, a separate business account and making that leap, it'll be super easy. Like, I feel like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, obviously, like, that's the whole point of it, having a business. Like, you have a business account. But we're, like, not quite there yet. So we're doing a lot of legwork on our end to really be budgeting and be mindful of, like, income and inflow and outflow of the amount of money we are getting and putting out, but within our personal accounts. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's what's making it difficult in this moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like, it's all a learning experience, and for the first time in my life, this has been a few years where I've tried to really not overstep myself. Like, I've tried to really just sequence into things. And it's hard because, you know, I see other people and I'm close friends, other people who have things that I'm like, man, we could really, if we just had that, if we just had this, if we just had that. And just having the patience to build it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And to always try to have a safety net for everything that we do.
Yeah, that's important.
And obviously, you can't always have a safety net. And so we've been blessed enough that we have had a lot of safety nets. But, yeah, we're really starting to step into the mass flow. I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll do a podcast towards the end of the year where we talk about goals for next year. But really, the only goal for next year that we haven't had on the farm this year is just going to be turkeys. Mm-hmm. That's
it. Yeah.
I mean, we'll have everything then.
Yeah. You know? There's not much more we can get. I mean, I guess there is.
There's a lot we could more get, but as far as, like, you know, consistent customers to profit revenue to what we can rotate on this farm, there's not a whole lot.
Like a market. you know, I mean, we can get ostriches and sell an ostrich egg for like $1,000, but no, who the fuck wants an ostrich egg?
$30, I think, or $60.
But like, that's what I mean. Like, just because sometimes there's like money in something doesn't mean that anyone.
Well, don't get me started really on the ostrich thing. I saw a business plan for ostriches, and you don't want to know about. You don't want to know.
Who the fuck wants to buy ostrich
products? I don't know, but I got a hookup for it.
You have a hookup for the ostrich, not for who's going to buy the stuff we have from
I heard
them.
You could sell feathers, eggs,
who the
chicks.
Who's going to buy ostrich ether?
Ethers?
I need to end this.
Apparently it's a big market. I don't know, babe.
No one. No, I don't believe that. I need.
One day, instead of a livestock guardian dog, we're going to have an ostrich.
That's fine.
And they'll patrol. I heard they're they'll mean. Patrol. Hell yeah.
I know half. Oh, that's an emu. There's that TikTok lady. I feel like I've sent you her TikToks before. She is like an attack emu, but it attacks her. I'll try and link it.
That sounds like a bad attack emu that if it attacks her.
Yeah, I'm going to have to show it to you.
All I know is I wanted an ostrich once and you shot it down. You shot it down. You said no. Yeah, and really. Even my hockey team was going to buy and send the
egg. Oh, that legitimately made me so mad. God, that like not in the funny way either. Like in the like
it was
real
funny to
like
me.
I'm real mad.
It was funny to me. Like they were gonna send me an egg.
No, that was gonna be a very low point in our marriage. I was not about that.
But are we gonna do a podcast before our anniversary?
Probably not. Our anniversary is coming up.
Yeah. We're going out to
maybe we'll
this
do it
year.
For our anniversary.
Maybe we'll do it at there. No, we're not going to do it
during
there.
Our anniversary.
No, that's not going to happen. I know where I want to get for our anniversary, and I'm just going to chill. We should get a limo there.
We should. It'll be like prom.
Great.
We'll do another one soon.
Definitely. I mean, once the pigs get settled in and. Gosh. All right. Run down a quick chicken update. Chickens.
The last batch of the summer is going to be harvested on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. They
very
did.
It's shocking.
They're big boys, too.
Yeah. They're really big. They're like a week behind, but that's okay. They will be gone on Sunday. I'm very excited about it. You have a helper coming.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about. What kind of scalding situation are you doing?
Propane.
So we're doing a new scalder.
New scalder.
Yep. A turkey fryer, propane.
Right. And listen, I've talked about this with a couple people. I don't know how important it is or not. It scares me. All right. So we have I bought a brand new big old 29 quart turkey scalder. Never been used before. I feel like some farmers may reuse these turkey frying pots with peanut oil. And I just, everything I know about like seasoning pans and pots and all that, like oils seep in and stay there. So we bought a brand new one that will only be used to scald chickens or turkeys. Chickens or turkeys.
Yeah.
But we will never put peanut oil in it. And I feel like a lot of people overlook that. I don't know. Yeah. That's just me.
Yeah, I think
being
that's a great
maybe
point.
Extra precautionary, but
no, I mean I think that's a good point. Yeah, we're just not gonna reuse it because I think that like the main point is like we really love to use peanut oil when we fry and we think it tastes the best, tastes like Chick-fil-A.
Well,
it's
just
great.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
just like people with peanut allergies can't eat Chick-fil-A because they fry in peanut oil.
Yeah, so I don't think peanut oil is always the best.
Yes, you do.
No, I think corn oil for fish is phenomenal.
Why?
I don't know. It just tastes great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I
only thought
like
peanut oil or dye.
No. I use peanut oil for chicken stuff. A lot of stuff, but I use corn oil for fish. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and especially because I don't like to reuse my oil from fish, but... No, legit. Like I always dump the corn oil from the fish into the no. I really do. I know you're not believing me. You're not believing me, but no, I'm telling you. For
into
fish,
the what? This is fading fast.
I think you had too much.
Yeah, you think me? You just said you pour it into the no.
King Chancho. Wine. I'm serious, though. I don't, I think. Lord.
I believe you.
Don't believe me at all.
I did one lip with you. I'm here. I'm here for it. I know.
Apparently not.
Oh my god. Okay, what other chicken update?
I was talking about like your chicks.
Oh god, I forgot about the chicks. Yeah.
Oh god.
We have the red light now. We
have 5 minutes.
Okay. Most recent. Oh, I got, man.
We sold some chicks. Boom. How'd that go? Good?
Good.
Okay. Chicks alive still?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They had to upgrade their containment situation for them. They tried to keep them in not a Tupperware, but not a Pyrex. In a, what are those? Giant Tupperware.
Rubbermaid?
Rubbermaid. Yeah, they tried to keep them in a Rubbermaid, but it was 11 chicks. And so, like, literally, like, 5 days later, they were, like, jumping out, and she was like, oh, no, I have to do something different. But anyway, she did. Okay. And they're all alive. Uh-huh. My chicks that we had gotten, yep. I'm pretty sure one of my female Morans is actually a male Moran, which is a big bummer, but also not so much, because I really didn't need to. They are all outside. They're all outside. They're doing fine.
Yeah, one got out today.
One got out, but
we had one lived under the porch for, like, 2 weeks.
We did have one under the porch. It escaped and went under our porch, and it has the
Ironically, it was the one that got out today too.
Really? Oh my gosh.
I know exactly where it got out, or exactly where I told you it was gonna get out. And you were like, no, they're not gonna do that.
I don't think you're right. There's no way they can get out that way.
There is a way, and they did.
Okay, well,
back in there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no real updates to that. They're in their own little grow out area now, which is good.
Yeah, for
the,
now.
The big hens are molting, but they're again? Fine. It's a whole process. Yeah, there's feathers everywhere. They look a little raggedy.
Well, the rooster's about to die on Sunday. They don't know it, but
yeah, our rooster.
He's not a purebred.
He was sold to us as a purebred leghorn, but every leghorn that we have hatched, like, with him and our girls that we got from an actual hatchery, they all come out splash, which doesn't make every single chick has come out with black on it. So we think
he has a pea comb. Tells me he's mixed with Americana.
He has a rose comb, and sometimes it's breed standard, though. So that's not as much of a red flag to me. But
doesn't it make sense now?
Yeah.
So he's got to go. So if we have a Moran rooster, then the Moran could go in there too, but for now the breast will go in there.
Yeah,
and then we can always separate the breasts out later when the Moran's ready to go in. So what we could do is we could put both of them in there. Anyway, we still haven't gotten a breast egg yet.
Yeah, she's not laying. Which
she's a
is bomb. Confusing.
Well, it's time to throw them in there. Once that rooster goes, they're going in.
Okay.
So we have 1:30. So do we need to? What do you want to say? Run down.
I don't know.
Anything you want to tell people? 3, 2, 1, go.
Nope. Follow me on Instagram.
Wow.
But don't message me. Just kidding. Yeah, no. The sticker swap has been going great, but then I got overwhelmed, and that was hard. But now I'm over that, and I'm replying messages again.
Are you sending more out again?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Which is good. I'm happy about it. I don't want to make it seem like I'm not, but it did get kind of overwhelming for a minute. And I had, like, a depressive moment, but now I'm over it, and I'm okay.
I think we have to order new stickers.
We do. Stickers. I thought we wouldn't be able to... I thought we would be giving them away at this point, and now we're like, oh my god, we need more stickers.
We do. Well, it's hunting season, so your worst time of the year.
Yeah.
Well, we will try to keep you guys updated, especially now since a lot of our hard butcher dates are done. We have a couple lambs to do, but everybody knows we love lambs, and we love to process them
for
you. So, do you have any questions? Message us either on Facebook, Instagram. I don't know what else my wife has.
If you message us on Facebook, it's Nate. If you message us on Instagram, it's me. We don't say that, but that's how it is.
Yeah. Well, we have 10 seconds, so.
All right.
All right. We'll catch y'all next time. Pa-chow.